Praise him when the sun goes down. That's all day, I think. Huh? All the time, right? That is all the time, isn't it? That is correct. Yeah, you're good. Now let's go to 2 Timothy this morning. 2 Timothy, the third chapter. Second Timothy, the third chapter. Verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. My topic this morning is continue. It's found a number of places in the New Testament scripture, and it's actually comes from three different Greek words that different depending on where you're at. The word here that is continue, it means to abide, to continue, to stay in a given place, state, or relation, or expectancy. And so my thought was this about continuing. We find it several places, and we're going to look at some of those. The thought here is that there are some who do not continue, some that leave off. And we're encouraged and exhorted to continue. That means to keep going on. And certainly there are numerous things. The enemy will come against us in numerous ways to keep us from continuing. Not because we lose our salvation if we don't continue, but because God is not glorified if we don't continue. And I thought it was interesting. I was thinking about what Jack was giving this morning about he must increase and I must decrease. If you pay attention to that statement, that is a continuing statement. It's not just a one thing. It's not a one-time thing. It's a continuing thing. And this is the key thing about continuing is there is continual increase to be had of our Lord and a continual decrease of our old creation that wants to rule. But he says here, and so this we're going to start with this particular thought. He says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He says that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so the thought here is about continuing in the word. And this seems to be one of the things I think that is most important for God's people, and that a lot of God's people tend to neglect, which is continuing in the Word. In order to have come to salvation, one must have heard the gospel. That's God's Word. And that's good. But there is much beyond that to be had, much to be known. And so a need for us to continue in God's Word. And not only that, but daily, the enemy assaults us in different ways to bring us down, to destroy our spiritual walk. And so we need to continue in the Word. We need a continuance. The word there, one of the meanings was to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. And I thought that was pretty good as related to the Word. To stay in God's Word in an expectancy. We expect as we come into God's Word that we will receive something. Those didn't work, thank you, but I tried those earlier. And for this range, it's my eyes seem to be about as good as anything I've got, so I did try those, thank you. I'll be really honest, at this range with my eyes without glasses, I see really, really good. So there's like this kind of short, perfect range or something. The problem is when I look up, you guys are all just a little bit blurry. But that's okay. I don't need to see your faces in sharpness when I look up. I just need to see what's in front of me here. So we need to continue because we need what comes from God's word. I'm not going to turn and read this, but you know that in Romans 10:17 it says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And our faith needs to not only be increased, but it needs to at least be maintained. And the truth of the matter is that if we don't stay in God's word, our faith will actually begin to decrease. It begins to wane. That's because of the way we are. Our old creation begins to take over more and more, and our faith begins to wane. And so we need to be in God's word just in order to maintain a level of faith. But if we want to increase our faith, we most certainly must continue in God's word. It's very important. I'm not going to turn and read this one, but in John the 8th chapter, Jesus said to those that believed on him, he says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And the thought that he's giving here is that those that truly want to follow him will need to continually be in his word, to continually be reminded. The world reminds us continually of the things it wants us to know. If you turn on your TV, you will continually get reminded about different things that they want you to know. If you read the newspaper, you'll continually get reminded about certain things they want you to know. If you listen to your radio, you'll continually get reminded, and so on and so on. And everywhere you go, and the people you talk with, if they're not believers especially, but the people you talk with, they will remind you about things of the world. It's easy, if you will, I don't know if that's the right way to say that, but it's easy to stay in the world. It's easy to stay in the things of the world because they're everywhere and it's around us all the time. And that's kind of, if you'll let me say it this way, that's kind of the default situation in our lives. We're surrounded by these things, the world and what it teaches and what it believes and the things that are around us. To get in God's word and to stay in God's word, that's a choice that we have to make. That's a choice that we have to make. God places in front of us an opportunity and a privilege to continue in his word, and that's a choice that we have to make. I am going to go to the 6th chapter of John because I want to read several verses here. In the 6th chapter of John, way down towards the bottom of this chapter, around 60-something. Verse 66. John chapter 6 and verse 66. It says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. See, many turned back. Many did not continue. And Jesus asked his disciples this question. And the question is one for us to consider and to think about as well. Will ye also go away? And I appreciate Peter's answer. You know, Peter can be impulsive at times, but he also had some insight that was given to him by the Holy Spirit. And he says, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. There are many places that people turn. Other books, experts, and so on. I can think of different things. Many places that people go away from God's word. But in God's word, we'll find what we truly need. I can't remember all the details now. We were talking about something, and somebody was talking about an expert at work and what the expert had said. And a man piped up, he said, man, I was this close to being an expert. I thought that was interesting, you know, that they become experts somehow. We don't know exactly how that happens. And so they know lots of stuff, and they want you to know that. Well, what really matters is what God's word says. There are lots of experts in the world and I'm not so sure about their expertise, but God's word is true. And God's word is real. And just as Peter noticed and recognized, where else can we go? You have words of eternal life. Our Lord is the only one that has words of eternal life. Let's go back, well, not back, I guess, to 1 Timothy this time in the fourth chapter. The thing about Timothy, by the way, and we had a study in there a long time ago, but the thing about Timothy is Paul really encourages this young man, Timothy, who needs encouragement because he's young and he has some responsibility for giving the word and so on, and he needs encouragement. And I appreciate the encouragement that Paul gives him. In this fourth chapter, I think we'll start in verse 13, I guess. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, he says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." A great encouragement for young man Timothy, and great encouragement for us too. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Continue in them. And so there's great exhortation here and great encouragement that we can take the benefit of continuing in God's word always. Let's go to James, the first chapter. In verse 22, James chapter 1 and verse 22, he says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." How can we walk in God's word if we're not continuing in it? How can our lives reflect what God is doing if we don't continue in his word? He says those that don't continue, so they're like a person who looks in the mirror, goes, "Oh, okay," and walks away and forgets what he looks like. He's not, by the way, this is not intended to make people go look in the mirror more often, but rather in the mirror of God's word. He says, continue. Those that continue therein and are doers of the word. So if we're going to act on God's word in our lives, we must continue in God's word. Now let's go to John, the 15th chapter. Verse 7, I guess, is where I'll start. John chapter 15, verse 7. This is Jesus speaking here. He says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." So this is the second continue. Continue in his love. Jesus had demonstrated to his disciples love, true love, real love. that agape love, and he has demonstrated it to us. Most certainly we have seen and understand his love in going to the cross, in taking our place, and in restoring to us, as we've had recently, the things that were lost, and not just restoring, but giving us above and beyond. He has shown us his love in forgiving us. We'll hear about that in Ephesians. He has shown us his love in forgiving us. And so he says, continue ye in my love. He wants us to continue. This is very important. I'm not going to turn and read, but you know that the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians is the chapter about love. It expresses to us the way you can recognize true love, the agape love that only comes from the life of Christ. The love that man knows about is, generally speaking, conditional, wishy-washy. It's a love that's kind of whatever he feels like at the time. But Jesus' love is different because, as it tells us in Romans, he loved us when we were yet sinners and died for us. When we were his enemies, he loved us and died for us. And so this is a kind of love that is not possible in the old creation. It is reflective of the new creation that is in us. But he says, continue. So that means there's an ongoing demonstration, an ongoing view, if you will, of his love in our lives. People should see it. Too often, God's people forget to act in love. And it brings shame to the name of Jesus. I hear this often, you know, people say, well, that wasn't very loving. I thought that person was a Christian. The world may not understand agape love. They certainly cannot. But they know that they're supposed to expect something from God's people. And you know what? That's true. They should expect something from God's people. We have the life of Christ in us. And this goes back again. This still goes back to the first continue, which is to continue in the word. Because how are we going to understand and know his love if we don't continue in his word where he expresses that to us? I know that oftentimes when I am thinking about doing something that might not be in love, more than once, in fact, many times, the word has corrected me as I was reminded of something out of God's word. But if we don't continue in his word, we also will not continue in his love. Let's go now to Acts, the 13th chapter. Acts chapter 13, verse 43, maybe. Verse 42, let's start there. Acts chapter 13 and verse 42. It says, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. It seemed like we just heard about that recently. I'm glad that God turned to the Gentiles. Verse 43 reads this way, though. Notice this. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. This is another thing that seems to be a problem with God's people. Continue in the grace of God. It reminds me of Galatians. I'm not going to turn there, but Paul writes to the Galatians, he says, oh, foolish Galatians. He said, you began in God's grace, and why are you now going the other way? I know that I'm paraphrasing. I recognize that. But that's essentially what he says. They had started in the grace of God. We're saved by grace. But they did not continue. And Paul speaks pretty severely to them. Continue in the grace. I'm not going to dwell on this one a lot because we've had an awful lot about this in recent months of study of God's grace. But many of God's people are moved from the grace of God. They recognize that they were saved by grace, but then they begin to go away from God's grace. It's important that we continue in grace. Paul, it's interesting to me, these are new Christians, just getting started, if you will, and Paul's first persuasion to them, if you will, is to continue in the grace of God. I think that's because he knew, and we also know, that one of the things that the enemy does is to move God's people away from grace. The old creation likes that legal stuff. It likes to create things. And I noticed this one day. I was talking to somebody, and they were talking about certain rules that their church had. And, of course, they were somewhat proud because they were able to, you know, stay within these rules or whatever. And I realize that's really kind of part of the purpose of that is if you create some rules to live by that you can live by, then you get to be proud about that. But the grace of God gives us nothing to be proud about except our Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. And so we need to continue in grace. And that continuing grace also demonstrates itself in the way that we deal with others and the way that we treat others. Okay, 14th chapter of Acts. We're right here. Let's just go. This is going to be our next one. 14th chapter of Acts, and I think I'm going to start in verse 19 of this 14th chapter. Acts chapter 14, verse 19 says, "There came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." To continue in the faith. Another place the enemy attacks us desperately is our faith. Now again, this one just takes us, and you probably have already noticed this and realized it, but each one of these takes us back to the first one, right? How are we going to continue in the grace of God except that we continue in the Word where he teaches us about his grace? How are we going to continue in the faith except we stay in the Word? Of course, I mentioned that earlier already, that Romans 10:17 that says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. How are we going to continue in faith? See, all these continuings, they're about going on, remaining, being constant. I'm gonna leave that there with the faith, continuing in faith. There were some other things I had, but I want to go to the next one, which is in Colossians, the fourth chapter. I really wanted to get to this one, and I feel like I'm going to run out of time if I don't go there. Colossians chapter 4. And verse 2. He says very simply, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer. This one, I think, you know, it's interesting to consider and to think about, because prayer is simply a conversation between us and our Lord. And it's important that we have a continual relation going there. But prayer is easy also to neglect. It doesn't mean, by the way, that you have to have, like, you know, some fancy, super long kind of prayer thing. It's really, again, it's just a relationship with the Lord, talking to our Lord. Sometimes it might be really simple and short. Sometimes it might be longer and more involved. But the key here is the continuing part. In other words, that it be an ongoing thing in our lives. I'm not going to turn also, but in the first chapter of Acts, it says there that these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Those the early days of the disciples, and Jesus had risen, had gone away, and it says they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. It's interesting to think about those early disciples, those early ones that they had seen Jesus and been with him. And when he went away, that was a big loss to them. Literally, he had been with them, and now he was gone. Now, he had promised them the Comforter. And so they were to tarry and expect that. And this is what they did. It says they continued in prayer and supplication. Romans. I am going to turn and look at Romans, the 12th chapter. I think I'm going to start in verse 10. Maybe verse 9. Let's start in verse 9. He says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Continuing instant in prayer. A good exhortation for us in this day and age that we live. We certainly need, as we've said before, we need to stay in God's word. But these two things go together. I've said this before, and I'll say it many times, I'm sure, subsequently, but one should not be studying God's word without having asked God to reveal. So those two things, the reading and studying of the word and prayer, they go together. They should always go together. And so if we're going to be constant in God's word, we also need to be constant in prayer. And we need to be constant in prayer also because there is a battle going on. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, tells us about the armor that's necessary for that battle. And it tells us a little bit about the battle itself, which is a spiritual battle. And so that battle is fought in prayer. If you go back to the book of Daniel, you find that there also, there was a spiritual battle going on. And Daniel was a man of prayer. I saw a little thing. It was in Spanish, so I have to think about it a little bit. But anyway, it was to the effect of, how do you explain to Daniel that, how did it go now? That you're afraid to pray because of something. I forget now how it went, but the idea was Daniel prayed when it was, when it involved his life, right? We talked about that, I think, last time. He prayed when it involved his life. He was continually in prayer every day, three times a day. Daniel continued in prayer, even when doing so put his life at risk. right now, as far as I can tell, we don't have that problem. You can pray anywhere you want, even openly anywhere you want, and you will not likely get thrown into a lion's den. But Daniel was constant in his prayer. He continued in it. And so can we. I think I'm going to quit with that. I don't want to get started on another one. I'm running close to the end of my time here. But the thought that I, as I was going through this, I was just thinking about the whole thought about being constant, about there's a continual growing in our lives that can happen if we will let God do that. And between now and whenever God takes us home, however that is, there is a continual work in our life. God doesn't quit. He doesn't turn aside. He doesn't turn back. God is continually working. And if we'll let him, he'll continually work in our lives because that's his desire. But for him to work in our lives, we need to continue in the word. We need to continue in prayer. We need to continue. We need to have a continual desire. And so there is much, it's easy to give up. It's easy to give in, to quit. And the enemy would like us to do that, because it will rob God of his glory. In Ephesians, what we're learning there, and I think we've already had some of that, but is God is doing something in our lives that he's going to put on display for eternity for his glory, to show forth his grace and his kindness. If we choose not to continue, and it is a choice, if we choose not to continue, God will be robbed of that glory that belongs to him in our lives. And so we need encouragement, and that's what the intent was, of course. Encouragement to continue. We're in a race, and I think about this a little bit as, if you're running, I ran when I was in high school, and there would be people on the sidelines cheering you on and encouraging you to keep going, especially in the longer races. I didn't run the really long races because I wasn't good at that long distance stuff. But when I was a senior, I did run the cross country because there wasn't anything else to do at that time, and I wasn't very good at it either. But that was a long distance for me. But I remember people encouraging along the way, keep going, you're almost there. And especially because as you get a long distance in, your legs kind of start to want to give out. You just feel like, I just can't do this anymore. And spiritually, we come to that same place sometimes. I just can't do this anymore. I can't do it. And I've seen it happen many, many times. And I'll be honest, I've felt that way in my life a few times along the way. I just can't do this anymore. I can't keep going. But God's word encourages us. And we should encourage one another as well. That's one of the reasons we come together as God's people. We encourage one another. There was a man in the meeting in Topeka. I don't know if he ever spoke in the meeting. I don't remember. And he was a fairly quiet man. I don't remember him ever having, much of any involvement in anything other than he was there every time. Every time he was there. And I remember that after he passed away, one of the things that more than one person said about him, actually, is he encouraged me because he was faithful to be in that place every time. And that's interesting because he might have thought that his life wasn't helping anybody. But our faithfulness can encourage another. And we can encourage one another, and we should encourage one another to continue. We also, by the way, continue assembling ourselves because the word says to. And it's important for us to do so. I'm going to quit this morning. Any questions or comments?